Almighty God, we bow in your presence. May your word be our rule, your spirit our teacher, and your greater glory our supreme concern, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Do you please have a seat? Well, as Joe has said, our theme this evening is guidance, and also, as he said, we'll all have decisions to make, maybe especially when we're younger in life. You may have to make a decision about a job. Am I going to change my job? What is my career going to be? Shall I enter that romantic relationship? Do I get married to that person? Do I move somewhere else? Move in with somebody else, share flat with some other people or house with other people? Shall I go and volunteer and help out in that school that needs school governors, and so on and so on and so on. Lots and lots of decisions come before us. And we're going to think about how to make those decisions. And the Hebrew word for guidance in the Bible is a word from which, or was related to the word for rope. And the reason for that was that a ship was navigated using rope. And so what we're talking about is how to navigate, if you like, how to navigate the ship of your life well. How are we going to navigate well? Now, I guess we'll have different approaches here to guidance and different attitudes towards it. I mean, there could be all sorts of attitudes. Maybe it's sort of one extreme. We might really believe in God, but we don't really think about asking God for guidance or looking to him. We think it's really just down to us to make a good decision. And I kind of, at the other end of the extreme, you get Christians who will look for very immediate signs for many, many decisions, looking for coincidences or even messages from God or prophetic words, that kind of thing. And probably all of us will be somewhere, if we're not at the extremes, in between those two ends of the spectrum. And I hope today we'll be helped, wherever we are, to think about how we can guide and navigate successfully through life, guided by God, and we're doing this from Proverbs. So there's a little outline again, because we've got lots of different Proverbs, so that might help you with our points. 6 points, but don't worry, some of them are very short. Number 3 is a bit longer, and number 6, otherwise quite short, I think. So first, relax, God is in control. The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. Well, the lot in the ancient world was our equivalent of flicking a coin, or throwing a dice. It was something you would use when you want to make a decision which is based purely on luck. It's random. It's chance. But what this proverb is saying is behind the luck is the Lord. He is determining the outcome, whether it's heads or tails, 1 or 6, long straw, short straw. He's determining extraordinary thought. And obviously, if he's in control of that, the most random, chancy things, he's in control of everything. And I think that this means that this is really important as we think about guidance, because I think as Christians we tend to get very hung up thinking it's all about my decision making. You know, and I've got to get this right. I've got to make the right decision. And if I don't get it right, well, it's all going to go pear-shaped. But let's remember, behind everything, God is actually in control of everything that happens in our lives. Well, does that mean our decisions don't matter? Well, no. Second point, try hard to make good decisions. The plans of the diligent lead to profit as surely as haste leads to poverty. 21:5. And diligent here, it's talking about our thinking, being diligent, reflective in our thinking, working hard to make good decisions. And the word haste is about being impulsive about decisions. And he's saying, look, that will tend to lead to failure. Thinking about decisions will tend to lead to success. Now, lay by moment, remember that Proverbs generalizes. So sometimes somebody will make a very impulsive decision, work out well. They'll make a very thought-through decision, works out badly. But generally, if we think about decisions, work hard at thinking, those are going to be the better decisions and plans. And we'll be better guided by doing that. So we've got to hold these 2 points in tension, the first and the second. Now, in the myth of Oedipus, the Delphic oracles, tells Oedipus that he is going to kill his father and marry his mother. And he spends his whole life determined that this is not going to happen. But he ends up killing his father and marrying his mother. He doesn't know it's his mother, but he marries her. And the point of that myth is destiny, it's set for you, you can't change it, it's determined, nothing you can do really. Back to the Future films, trilogy of films. Doc Brown helps the teenager Marty McFly to go back in time, and there's all sorts of narrative twists about what happens if he changes what happened in the past, how will that change his future. And the film ends with Doc Brown saying to Marty, "Your future is whatever you make it, so make it a good one." So that's the other extreme, isn't it? This is all down to you. Your future is up to you. And that's probably very kind of Western, liberal, secular. Yeah, it's all down to us. We're not determined. We can do whatever we like. And so we've got two contrasting views of destiny. And I suppose what the wise Christian tries to do is hold together something like these two views. I'm not saying that our view of God is exactly like that, but what we're seeing in Proverbs is, yes, God's in control of everything, even the throw of the dice, but your decisions matter. And it's hard for us to hold those two things together and understand the theory of them, but I think it works in practice. So I think, you know, if you've got a decision to make and it's a big one, well, you try very hard to make a good decision. And we'll see later that involves things like, well, we've already thought, thinking about it, seeing if it's scriptural, asking other advisors, praying. So work very hard at that. But once you've made the decision, relax. God's in control. And we've got to try and hold these two things in our thinking and our heart at the same time. So next, point three, surrender outcomes to God. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. Or another version, your plans will succeed. So I think this means that when we're making plans, we should, what does it mean to commit them to God? It means to ask God, is this a good idea? Will you please guide me? And say, I give this plan to you. Let your will be done. And often when we do that, it's often actually when we say that to God, your will be done, that the way becomes clear. Somebody said to me this morning, preaching on the same theme, and somebody said to me, well, that was so appropriate to me this week, because I was thinking about making a journey, and I thought, I can't, it's too expensive, really. And then I just said to God, Lord, I hand the tiller over to you. You're in control. And once she'd done that in a remarkable way, actually the way opened up for her to make this journey. And that will often happen. I think God often does that. It's as we give him control and say to him, your will be done. But I think this, and this was a discovery for me preparing for this sermon, that actually this verse, it's about something bigger than that. It's about something deeper and more powerful. It's not just about committing the particular plan you're thinking about to him. It's about committing everything we are to him, our whole life. The word apparently commit means to roll onto or sort of lean my weight upon. And I think this is saying, look, roll your whole life onto God and say what you will, when you will, how you will. It's the spirit in this poem. Let me read it to you. It may be thou wilt grant me times of peace, with joys untold my pathway fill, and I will laugh with gladdened heart and sing. But if not, I will love thee still. It may be I shall feel thy arms beneath, in times of loneliness when joys seem past. But if not, I will hold thee fast. It may be I shall see thy plan unfold and know the path on which my feet are set and go forth confident with loving hope. But if not, I will trust you yet. So I think it's by rolling our whole life onto the Lord in that sort of way, acknowledging that things will be easy, sometimes they'll be hard. And we put ourselves into his hands for that. It's through doing that that I will develop a heart of wisdom, which will enable me to make the kind of plans and decisions which will then be established and succeed. So I think we need to understand that when we're thinking about guidance, we tend to be obsessed with what we're going to do and the immediate success of our plan. But God's much more interested in what we are and making us a person of wisdom. And in the long run, that means that our decisions and plans are going to more and more be established and succeed. So surrender outcomes to God. Number four, plan for what the Bible says is good. Do not those who plot evil go astray, but those who plan what is good find love and faithfulness. So this is an extremely obvious point, but plan for what's good. Those are the kind of plans that succeed. That's the guidance God gives us, plan for what's good. How do we know what's good? Well, of course, for the Christian, it's what's in the Bible. It's not what the culture says, it's not what our friends say, it's not what I feel, it's what the Bible says. And especially those parts, some parts of the Bible are more kind of focused on that, the Ten Commandments, the two great commandments we've heard tonight, Sermon on the Mount, the epistles. This is our rule of life. And as I say, it may seem obvious, but it's amazing how sometimes Christians can convince ourselves that a path is right, even though it goes against what the Bible says. Next, ask wise people for advice. Plans are established by seeking advice, so if you wage war, obtain guidance. So wars are won not only by the number of tanks you've got, but by good tactics and strategy, and for that you need wisdom and advice. I was talking to a lady this week, a Chinese lady, nothing to do, nobody in the church. And I said, it was a bit of a kind of weird decision in China, wasn't it? You know, you had zero lockdown, zero COVID for nearly 3 years, which didn't seem like a great decision to me anyway. And then kind of abruptly, like from one day to the next, it's all abandoned. And that doesn't seem like maybe a great decision if you abandon it so quickly. And she said, oh, well, that's because in China, there's only one man that makes the decisions. Well, I don't know about the internal politics of China, whether that's true, but that's what she said. One man making the decisions. And certainly the Bible would say that is not a good idea. We need lots of advisors. Not too many, but we need counselors. So ask other people, and ask, of course, wise people. Especially, there are people who are wise who are not Christians, but certainly we want to ask those who've got biblical wisdom, and those who will be prepared to disagree with us and even rebuke us, not just asking people who we think will agree with us. And final point, observe signs with caution. So when I was first became a Christian, I was taught about guidance, that what you should look for is scriptural principles. Is it in the Bible? God-directed circumstances and inward assurance. And if you've got all three of those combining, pointing in the same direction, it's green traffic light. So what would that be like? Well, let's imagine I'm thinking, should I take such and such a job? The Bible says work is good, the job I'm going for, it's not robbing banks, so it's okay work, you know, the Bible doesn't say it's wrong, okay, that's okay. Circumstances, I heard about this job really coincidentally, kind of just by chance, and that kind of seemed maybe points towards it. I've got a couple of friends there who'll put in a good word for me. There's a little group of Christians meeting there at lunchtime. I could join in with them. The commute would be better. So that kind of seems to point towards taking the job. And then I feel at peace about it. I feel a sense of assurance about taking it. So great, I'll go for it. Now we've got to be cautious here. Something may be right, even if I don't have inner feelings of peace. So a feeling of anxiety is common before major life changes. Engaged couples often feel anxious before marriage. They don't always feel peace. That doesn't mean to say it's wrong. That marriage is wrong. And those who've lacked a feeling of peace in engagement have often gone on to have very happy marriages. And I should know. I was scared stiff when I was engaged for nearly 9 months most of the time. But I've now been happily married for nearly 36 years. And of course, sometimes circumstances will be against us. But that doesn't mean something's wrong. God may be allowing those circumstances to be difficult as an obstacle so we develop perseverance. It might be the devil hindering us. So it doesn't mean that that something's wrong if circumstances are against us. However, I would suggest that we can build an argument from what we know of the character of God that sometimes circumstances and feelings can be helpful to us in making a decision. So we've already seen God is in control of everything, even the throw of the dice. He's in control of our emotional life. So the proverb here says, in the Lord's hands, the king's heart is a stream of water that he channels towards those who please him. So in ancient farming, what you do is get the stream of water, dam it, divert it, so it goes and waters the field. And this proverb is saying that's what God does with the heart of the king. The king was the most powerful and free person in that culture. But even that person, God's channeling their heart, which is not just their emotional life, but includes that. And God is compassionate towards his children. Psalm 103. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. He knows how we're formed. He remembers that we are dust. And I think in his compassion, knowing our weakness, and sometimes if a decision we're going to make and a path is going to be a good one but a hard one, I think God does sometimes give us circumstances and that inner assurance to help us when it's difficult. And for me personally, that certainly was my experience, both when I was appointed as rector of Fordham in Essex, and then coming here as vicar. And both of those appointments started and basically were caused through a kind of incredibly random conversation. It wasn't sort of planned. I didn't see an advert anywhere. Both of them through, you know, coincidental conversations. And a number of, you know, coincidences leading to it. And then I did have a sense of conviction that was the right thing to do. And in both cases, especially in the early years, in both of those appointments, there were some very difficult times. And there were times when I thought, have I made a terrible mistake? And to have that sense that God, through those circumstances, had sort of confirmed the decision, which I thought about, prayed about, asked advice about, but to confirm that was a help and gave me that sense of, yes, Lord, this is where you want me to be. I believe that you brought me here. So I think that as long as we have committed a decision to the Lord, we're obeying Scripture, we've consulted wise advisors, if we get things like coincidences and feelings of peace, it's not wrong to see those as confirmation of God guiding us. Having said that, on the other hand, we've got to realize that most of the time, we're probably not going to have that kind of direct guidance. And that's all part of God helping us to develop this heart of wisdom, the way he trains us to live faithfully in this world. At a key moment in her life, a woman said to a nun, I'm 40 years old, and I don't know whether to get married or become a nun. And the nun replied, it doesn't matter. And the woman said, what? Doesn't God have an opinion on this? No, said the nun. What God cares about is that you live faithfully and give yourselves fully whichever path you choose. You are free to decide. And you must decide. You must go through the pain of decision in order to give yourself fully. And I guess that's often the way, isn't it? And often the way God is with us. We've got to make the decision. We've got to go through the pain of decision so that we give ourselves fully to whatever we're called to do. Now, let me finish by saying this. Guidance is something that can cause Christians great anxiety, understandably. We know how frail we are. And that lovely prayer we heard earlier, we talked about the frailty of our human nature. We can't stand. Always, we make mistakes. We're foolish. Some of our decisions are sinful, more or less. I guess every decision we make has got sin in it. Some of them more than others. And that's why I think it's really important we put this in the context of the event we're remembering today as we take communion, the cross. And in the light of what Paul the Apostle said, Romans 8:32, down on the sheet, God who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? So we need to remember that the God in whose hands we are placing ourselves and our plans and asking for guidance is the God who gave his son for us, which was not an easy thing to do. It was a massive thing to do. And in his great generosity, he's done that for us when we were still sinners, when we hated him, when we were enemies. And if he'd done that, will he not give us all things? Will he not be generous to us in our planning and the guidance we need? Yes, sad and bad things are going to happen to us. We live in a fallen world. We're going to have disappointments. That's all part of our training. But over the years, as I surrender, however imperfectly, however many foolish decisions I make, some of them sinful, but as I just surrender myself into the hands of the God who didn't spare his own son but gave him up for me, we can be confident that he will give us all things. He will give us the crosses and the comforts we need daily. And we will come to the end of our lives saying, yes, my plans have been established. He has done all things well. Praise his name. Let's pray together. O God, our Father, we thank you that you are at work to guide and direct the events of our lives. So many things we don't see. But we hear your call tonight to commit ourselves to you, to be yielded to you, to say what you will, when you will, how you will. May we be that kind of people. And may we be developing a heart of wisdom that makes the decisions that, well, are wise and please you and may be established and succeed and make our lives prosper in the widest possible sense and especially spiritually. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.